You're listening to a podcast from the Christian Medical Fellowship.
January the 12th, 2010 was the day that Haiti changed forever. The earthquake that struck killed more than 220,000 people, leaving 1.3 million people homeless. The restoration process has been hampered by the usual ills of politics and poverty, but also by a deadly outbreak of cholera. In response, the Christian Medical Fellowship sent out an email alert to members who said they'd be keen to help at times of crisis like this. In total, nine members or staff set off as part of a team led by Samaritan's Purse. Alex Bunn is the CMF Student Southern team leader and has just returned from Haiti. Alex, tell us, how bad is the cholera outbreak in Haiti? Can you paint a picture for us?
Yes, going back 2 or 3 months, it was pretty devastating. Tens of thousands of patients came down with a very rapid diarrheal illness, which turned out to be cholera, and then spread from the north of Port-au-Prince, following a river and the water sources right down into the slums of Port-au-Prince. And about 30 NGOs have been involved in the response to what was a devastating illness for thousands of people.
Was that part of the reason why you wanted to go out there, because of the severity of this, or were there other reasons as well?
A variety of reasons. I must admit, I had worked in infectious diseases for quite a while, and cholera is a very satisfying condition to treat because it's very, very treatable with very simple interventions such as ORS and a drip. So it was something we knew we could do something about very quickly, and it was very satisfying medicine.
Tell me what it was like when you arrived there. Was it quite a shock to... Because you hadn't been to Haiti before, had you?
No, I'd certainly seen much in the press about the political turmoil and obviously the earthquake almost exactly a year ago. I think the first impression I got was the heat coming from icy London, and the abject poverty was obvious with the crowds at the airport all wanting to take your bags from you and what have you and get some kind of income. We were very highly protected from the worst of the unrest by Samaritan's Purse, who kept us in a compound actually behind an armed guard. So I was somewhat protected, but certainly you're aware of it all around you. We saw tanks on the streets. We saw riots and roadblocks. In fact, one day we couldn't even get to the clinic because there was someone had turned a bus upside down to block the street to make what they call a manifestation, a demonstration against the, as you may know, the failed elections recently. So a whole range of problems, political, economic, and of course the medical need of desperately sick patients with cholera.
So tell us a little bit about the role that you played. You were staying in this compound, but going out and doing shift work, was that what it was?
That's right. It was a highly organised operation. We would get up about 5 in the morning and get into a bus to get into the clinic half an hour away. Partly we travelled that early in order to avoid the heat and also the unrest that often boiled over in the daytime. So we worked 12-hour shifts. At its peak, some people were working 24, 36-hour shifts because of the massive need. At its worst, people were turning up at 30 an hour in wheelbarrows, obtunded from cholera. By the time we got there, in fact, thankfully, things were waning and things were getting more manageable. So yes, we were in shifts. Some worked throughout the night. We thankfully managed to work in the daytime, which was a lot easier.
Tell us about the actual hospital itself. How did it compare to something in the UK, for example?
Good question. I mean, it's not like a hospital. Really, it's a big campsite with tent-like structures with very kind of rude hospital beds, which are basically DIY wooden low benches with a plastic sheet over the top and a rather undignified hole in the middle, where you can imagine what that's for, with a bucket underneath it. Such is the fluid loss. These guys can don't have time and are too weak to get up to go to the toilet. And people are shedding perhaps up to their own body weight each day in diarrhea. I saw one man who we gave 90 litres of fluid to in just over 2 days, which is an extraordinary amount of fluid. In this country, you'd probably, well, you would kill your patients because that would be a massive fluid overload. But these patients are so dehydrated, they need massive amounts of fluid.
How easy was it to keep hygiene in a hospital that wasn't sort of set to the standard of something in the UK?
Well, no, I would say that we washed our hands far more frequently than we would in the UK. In fact, the NHS could do with some of their interventions. Every time you pass through a gateway between the different wards, you would have an employee sat there in order to bark at you commands of wash, wash. And they were sat next to this big tank of 0.2% bleach, which is shown to be very effective in preventing cholera. In fact, I was far more likely to develop OCD, hand washing kind of compulsion, than I was picking up cholera. No, none of the workers picked up cholera, thankfully. It's very preventable.
As a Christian and a doctor, did you feel in a sense that you were really being sort of Jesus' hands and feet on the ground, as it were, you know, doing, really serving the poorest of the poor in the most vulnerable position?
I wouldn't want to be too grandiose about it, because frankly, all of us are called to do that. And in many ways, when you come back from a country like this and the experience we had, you realise it's in many ways a harder calling to work in this country. I think one of the kind of enjoyable aspects of working in a place like Haiti with a charity like Samaritan's Purse is that you are able to offer holistic care. People are very willing to receive prayer. It's part of their culture. So we worked very much alongside the pastors, who were very much appreciated. I think when you are in a place which is as troubled and as poverty-stricken as Haiti, you're more aware that what you have to offer materially is small. Although for the people who are very sick with cholera, we could get them better, but then they're back to square one, which is a life of real struggle and a short and difficult life. So I think you're more aware of the need for prayer and for God's help. So I think it's more manifest, if you like.
What were you feeling when you got on the plane on the way home? Did you feel a sense of sadness that you had left the place and that there was still lots of work to do? Or did you feel that you'd done a good job? And what was your sort of feeling on the plane?
I mean, I think it's very easy to go as a part-timer. We were just going for a very short trip, and we weren't too exhausted when we left. I think you think about the people who work there long term, the Haitian doctors who this is their normal life, dealing with crises and firefighting. But actually, even worse for them is the uncertainty of whether employment is going to be there for them in a failing state, the lack of resources. So a lot of what we're doing is guesswork, which isn't very satisfying medically, knowing that you can't really work patients up and treat them fully, which is why, like I say, people really appreciate prayer. There's no pretense that you're actually solving everyone's medical problems and making them live long lives. But I think our thought goes to the Haitians, really, and the long-termers.
Finally, what would you say to someone who's listening to this that perhaps would be interested in doing a similar thing? How would you encourage them that this is a good thing to do?
I think, as always, on these kind of trips where you go abroad, you are far more blessed and encouraged probably than anything you do out there for other people. So if you want to get a taster of working in the tropics, I think the medicine is fantastic. And if you want to get a taster of mission, it's a fantastic way of doing it, in a way that you're not committing years and years, and you can do it in your holidays very easily. In this particular case, the Samaritan's Purse were very generous and even paid for our expenses. So do respond to Vicky's emails. If you're not on the list, do get on that list. There's lots of opportunities all around the world for trips like this and in World Mission.
On reflection then, Alex, what would you say that Haiti needs now in terms of its future and its provision?
I think cholera was yet another crisis to beset people who already had very, very difficult lives, particularly after the earthquake, which wiped out 70% of the GDP. So I think we only managed to firefight a very serious but very small problem in the grand scale of things. Clearly, they need economic restructuring, and they need some kind of government that is functioning. They're a failed state at the moment. But obviously, in terms of a Christian response, I think we need to pray, because often these disasters help to mobilise the church. and bring about the kind of leadership and integrity that this country deeply needs. So do keep praying. Only God can really totally restore this country that is broken in so many ways.
If you want to find out more about short-term medical mission trips like this, go to the CMF website and contact Vicky Larvey through the international pages. She'll then put you on the short-term response list for future trips. And do check out the official CMF blog for posts relating to global health and other topics. If you're on Facebook or Twitter, you can also follow our updates and news on the latest podcasts.